Gracious Lord, help us look with your eyes, hear with your ears, walk in your steps, love with your heart. Amen. In my household growing up, you knew your place in the hierarchy by the position you took in the family station wagon. Being the youngest of four girls, you can imagine where I ended up. You've got it, in the way back, with the dogs and the suitcases. The only saving grace was that I had easy access to the cooler that was full of sandwiches and snacks. Before the days of seatbelt and car seat laws, any place we could find room was an acceptable manner of travel. And on the daily short rides, I could never quite be quick enough to call shotgun, which gave the right to the first seat to the best bidder. It seems from early on, we are trained to look for that better seat, that place of honor, that position of authority. From grades in school, to divisions in sports, to titles at work, we learn that rank has its privileges. And so we begin that upward mobile climb. What follows privilege is the promise of power. How ironic it is that our Christian journey summons us into a life of service. In the gospel reading this morning, Jesus was about to enter Jerusalem to confront the temple-based aristocracy. He was going to meet political power head on. He wanted to offer an alternative to this domination system that people were living under, the way of the cross, teaching his followers that the measure of greatness was about embracing humility. Jesus modeled this servant heart by always caring for the needs of others. In Mark's gospel, three times he predicts his death on the cross, and three times the disciples don't get it. James and John sit there and dream about the position of honor on the right and the left of Jesus. These ambitious brothers, sons of Zebedee, were only following their instincts. In Jewish tradition, important guests were seated on the right and the left of the host at the banquet table. When a respected teacher would come to town, the teacher would be in the middle, and the most esteemed students would have the closest proximity. So eager to assume their place as leaders of the 12, James and John called first dibs on the journey to glory. They didn't realize that they would be asked to sacrifice everything for the cause. The only ones who flanked Jesus' right and left were the criminals who hung beside him on the cross. But it was this resistance to power that ultimately gave Jesus dominion over it. James and John said, "Teacher, we want you to do whatever we ask of you." Now, this may seem like a childlike question, but isn't that the same expectation we make of God in our prayers? God, we want you to do for us what we ask. The most difficult thing for us to get is that sometimes we're headed in the wrong direction and God closes the door. Thanks be to God for that, because that makes us turn around. Like a loving parent, we don't always get to have what we want, especially when we've lost sight of our humility. It's part of the human condition to want to strive for personal success, but so often we do it at the cost of others. Jesus's vision then of servant leadership was the perfect antidote to misguided ambition. Serving others reminds us of God's level playing field where there is no rich or poor, no divisions, no ranks, only compassion. I'm reminded of the story of the theologian Dietrich Bonhoeffer. He was a Lutheran minister who grew up in Berlin during World War I and II. Bonhoeffer had become a very esteemed lecturer and teacher and was invited to speak around the world. Climbing that ladder of success, he accepted appointments in England and then in America as his country became mired in conflict in the Nazi regime. At some point during his time in America, having witnessed the grave injustices of segregation, he felt compelled to go back to Germany and serve with his fellow Christians in opposing these systems of domination. He became a founding member of the Confessing Church that raised the first voice of religious resistance against Hitler's persecution and domination of the Jews. Bonhoeffer's own personal conversion from a basically intellectual faith to one of social action and service was chronicled in his book, The Cost of Discipleship, which is now quite famous. In it, he challenged the Christian community to confront what he called a cheap grace, one that required no sacrifice, no commitment, no real involvement. From the confines of a prison cell, he was a powerful advocate for a costly discipleship that would emulate Christ's love and service to those who didn't have a voice. For 2 years, he was imprisoned, and he ministered to his fellow inmates and also to some of the guards who had trouble with what was going on in Germany at the time. And he worked in a very clandestine way with the underground resistance to weaken the Nazi regime. Ultimately, he paid the cost for his discipleship by being murdered. He was executed in a concentration camp just weeks before the war ended. But his courage and his faith inspired generations to begin to serve Christ in the actions they took in the world. Bonhoeffer's resistance to power and to oppressive forces was an example for figures like Martin Luther King and Archbishop Desmond Tutu. So Jesus' life and death upend all of our assumptions about power and challenge us to live more fully into God's vision for humanity. Jesus said, "For the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many." We need not hear this as some payment to an angry God, but as sacrificial love poured out for us to save us from our belief that we are self-made or self-sufficient. The way to life, Jesus taught, is found when we give our lives away. In this day, at least in this hemisphere, to serve Christ is not a life-threatening proposition, but it is a life-changing one. It requires that to develop a servant heart, we must put aside these notions of rank and privilege and everything that our culture says about success and strive for a level playing field. When we truly understand that the measure of our worth has nothing to do with the seat that we take or what we achieve, but by the love that Christ has poured out for us. Thanks be to God that each day we have an opportunity to live out a servant life. I pray that this downwardly mobile path will actually be the path to abundant life. Amen.